Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Can we make a joyful noise unto the Lord this evening? Can you turn to someone and say, you are welcome to church? To another person, tell them, you are welcome to church. We can be seated in God's presence. So tonight is a privilege to be doing this tonight. I'd like to thank my man of God for this privilege, sir. Thank you, Pastor, sir. And so we started a series on fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible in Galatians 5:22 says that, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And today we're looking at patience and kindness by the grace of God. So why praying for this? I something came to my spirit and I realized that patience is one of the things that believers struggle with. I mean, to be honest, it's not easy to be patient. How many of us agree? It's not even easy to be patient. It's not something that is. And that's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that you do by yourself. And if you want this fruit to be fully developed in you, you must allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. And that means that you will be tested. Because you have to write a test. You have to write an exam to show that you are truly a patient person. So patience is not something that is even easy to come by. It takes the Holy Spirit to work in you to help you be a patient person. And I'll be showing us what areas of our lives or who we should be patient with. That's what I'm talking about tonight. So to be patient means to have long suffering, forbearance, or perseverance. The Greek word for patience is makrotumia, and it means perseverance. That's what it means. It means perseverance. It means to be patient. That's the ability to endure difficult people and situations without giving in to anger or despair. That's what it means to be patient. You are able to contain difficult people. And those are one of the class of people that is difficult to be patient with. When you have difficult people around your space. So number one, you're supposed to be patient with people. Who are you supposed to be patient with? People. And sometimes you have them in your space. They are difficult. You know, it's easy. Or it's difficult to work with people that you feel like maybe, you feel like they're not smart. They're doing swagbe things. It's not easy to be patient with them. Sometimes you feel like firing them. Just let them lose their job. Whatever happens to them, that's their business. They are sluggish. They are laid back in life. They don't have vision. They don't have passion. I mean, how long will I wait to be patient with you for you to come out of that? And so sometimes being patient with people is very difficult. Especially when you feel like you are smarter than them or you expect much more or they are old. You know, it's easier to be patient with children. They are old or maybe you're a choleric or you have a melancholy temperament and you feel like, what's this doing to like better do your things? Why are you doing like smart talk, better and less, you know, carry body? You're feeling like, but God is saying that you will be patient with those people because they are not like you. They don't have your courage, they don't have your tenacity, they don't have your audacity, they don't have your boldness. They are not framed like you. So you are going to meet with different people, and sometimes these people are your siblings, sometimes they're your roommates. They're your colleagues that you work with. Sometimes that person is your spouse. If you have married, you have married though. I don't want to enter relationship talk. For some people ask me questions, say, I'm not sure if it's relationship. Let's talk about another day. If it's a marriage, you'll be patient. But sometimes it's not so easy because they're not, you expect much more from them. You feel like, why is this person behaving like this? But the Bible is teaching us that we should be patient with those people. We should have forbearance. Forbearance means to be patient, you know, patient self-control, to restrain, and then to be tolerant under provocation. It means that you are angry, yet you watch your words. You are angry, yes, you are guarded. You don't lose guard. You don't say, because I'm angry, because I'm upset, I behave like this. It means that you have the power, actually, to do certain things, yet you will not do certain things because you are being patient with these people. Bible speaking in Ephesians 4:2 says that we should be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Can we look at NLT? NLT Ephesians 4, verse 2, NLT says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Now, that means that people are going to offend us. Your classmates, your roommates, your brothers, your sisters, your colleague, your husband, your wife, your employer, your employee. But it's saying that we should make room. That's what it means to forbear one another. That means that, you know, that this person will make a foolish decision. This person will misbehave, and I already know. But somewhere in your mind, you have made allowance for their faults. That even when they misbehave, even when they act in a way that is not in accordance with what you expect, even when they hurt your feelings, you will still be patient with them. Watching them change, it means that you will not give up on them easily. It means that even when they don't seem to be doing the things that you expect, you will still wait. You are making allowance for room for when they fault you, when they do something that is not called for. You will still hold on. That's what it means to be patient. Yes, in your power, you can make a decision. Yes, you will not make that decision. It doesn't come easy, like I said, but that's the place of the Holy Spirit. By yourself, there are some people that you will not have in your space ever again. But somehow, God is extending mercy to those people through you. As we just said, that if Jesus forgave us, why wouldn't we be able to forgive other people? He says that as readily as Jesus forgave us, that's how we should forgive. And that's what patience is. And one of the greatest patient person in the world is God. Come put our hands together for God. And I'll tell you why. With the rubbish happening in the world, Jesus is supposed to have come since. Yes. With all the nonsense. There's some nonsense you see. You'll be like, Jesus, sir, please, I have a question. Why exactly are you still waiting? I mean, just come and let's be done with this world. But he's still patient with us. And that's, you see, this patience is that's kind of the patience God is talking about. It's the patience that comes from the place of the spirit. It's not flesh. If you have to deal with flesh, you will consider a lot of things. Some people that are working with you and they're not even doing well. They come late. They are laid back in their work. They are not, but yet, God is teaching you to be patient with that person that you have in your employment. And that's how God has been patient with us. God is wishing that everybody will become born again. That's his wish. That's why he's waiting more than perhaps there will be other people that I'm supposed to save, that the blood of Jesus has been shed for already, and he's still waiting. He's still waiting. Some of you, the sin that you have seen, you know there's a sin you sin when you're a sinner. That is the nature. There's a sin that you sin when you're not born again. So you are sinning when you're born again like this. Honestly speaking, we should ask a question. But God is still patient with you. He has not killed you. He has not given up on you. He has not said this one. God already knows that, oh my, shut up, bishop. I already know that you will come. I've already seen it before, that you misbehave. But that's why I'm here. So how patient can you be with other people? How can you forbear? How can you position in your heart that there's forgiveness? That's what happens in marriage. Forgiveness is already paid for in advance. Before your spouse offends you, you're already forgiving them. Or forgiving him. For somebody think that them means that you married multiple spouses. You're already forgiving him or her. You are forgiving before the offense comes. And that's why God is patient with us, forbearing because of the love that he has towards us. And that's mercy. God shows his mercy through being patient with humans. Maybe in the Old Testament, you see God just like, why am I misbehaving like this? Clear them. But if I say God has changed, I don't know how this will sweet now. But God has changed. God's mercy has been extended to us in patience, saying that I will still wait. Perhaps there's somebody I'm supposed to save in that family. You think it's really easy for God to wait? Oh, God is just being patient. And that's the grace he's asking us to extend to other people. Not to be quick to write them off. Not to be quick to judge them. To make allowance for them when they hurt us. To make allowance for them when they do something that is not right. To make allowance to forgive them in advance. And that's what God is speaking to us for today. Number two is this. Be patient with yourself. Too many people can be patient with other people, but they're not patient with themselves. They don't think that they deserve, you know, sometimes people love other people and make a lot of sacrifices for them. They cannot make a sacrifice for themselves. If somebody comes to you, oh, I'm hungry, I need some money, you will give them your ATM. They'll go and eat 10,000 naira for that. You, that are making the money you have not eaten before. And you are not able to love yourself the way you love other people. It's something with patience. Some people are patient with other people. They can forbear. But when they do something wrong or something goes wrong, they beat themselves up. They want to give up on life. They cannot wait to go through the process for themselves. They feel like, no, Something is not working right. They cannot tolerate themselves and say that I'm going through a process. I missed it. Yeah, but I'll be patient. I will wait. I will go through this phase. They're just in a hurry. Impatience is a sign of distrust and a sign of unbelief. That you don't believe in the process. You don't believe in God and what he can do. So you think that you can hurry God out of the process. Some people think that by fasting and praying, they will hurry God to do what he wants to do. God will still not do it if he doesn't want to do it. He will do it when he wants to do it. Yeah. The Bible says that he maketh all things beautiful in his own time, not exactly your timing. So sometimes people think that by the time I fast 98 days or 72 days or 605 days, God will change. No, God will not change his mind. Or I will hurry God up. You know, when Lazarus died and they came to tell Jesus, Pastor was sharing last week, and they came to tell Jesus that, oh, your friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus did not hurry. He was patient. Make it die, you die, finish. Because the miracle I want to perform, he needs this kind of death. Let's not be that they say, ah, maybe if I'm not finished dying, now, no. Let's all conclude that he's dead. Then I'm not going to do what I want to do. So God is not really exactly in a hurry. But he will still be on time. He still will be on time. It's in your own calendar there. You're thinking, why has God not come? Hey, marriage. Be patient with yourself. Sometimes you tell people to be patient. People don't want to be patient because, oh, he loves. And when people are in love, they don't use the word very well again. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over again. It takes a lot of discipline to be hearing word when you're in love. We tell you to, why are we asking you to wait? It's the same thing. Be patient with yourself. Waiting helps you to reveal things. Patience is a revealer of intent and motives. Patience. And that's timing there. Wait. You come to the pastor, oh, PM, sir, this Sunday, I'm saying, oh, wait, why not? Have you? Somebody's meeting you 1 week. 1 week later, he's telling that he likes you. Are you not suspecting the guy? You should be suspecting that. You don't even know me. And you're telling him that you love me, you want to spend, you don't even know me. Wait. Because in that waiting, in that being patient with yourself, things will be revealed. You will know whether you genuinely like this person. It's because he has money. Or because her father has money. Because there are many ways to be rich these days. One of the ways to be rich, marry a rich man's daughter, you'll be rich. So maybe you're looking for shortcuts. And so you say, oh, this is it. I found the person. Oh, sir, pastor, sir. I found the love of my life. And we say, wait. Farabale, Nisuru. Calm down. Be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your own process. Your process is not the same process with another person. We are all going through our own process. I hope you know that there will always be a time in your life where you have to wait. You don't know. If you have not waited before, you will still wait. Just tell yourself. My turn will come. It's turn by turn. Your turn will come. There will always be a season in your life when you are asked to wait. Because if God doesn't test you, I doesn't know that this fruit of the Spirit is working in you. It has to be a test. There will always be that time. Sometimes, something will lead to something that leads to something that will make you wait. You will wait. You will wait. You will wait. It's not going to be easy. Yeah, but that season is a season of process of building. You be patient with yourself. Go through your own season. Sometimes people are not patient. That's why they have, people cannot do excellent jobs. They do not wait well to learn the skill. 6 months learning. They've done 3 months. They feel like they know anything. You don't know anything. But they don't know that they don't know anything. So they want to prove that, oh, I know more than my boss. I'm on social media. I'm this one. No. There's a learning phase. Go and learn that skill. Wait there. When you wait there, you are patient. You will get the excellence you need. You will learn it to the full. And when you deliver, it's 100%. Learn that skill now. Go through that process. Be patient with yourself. Don't be patient with other people. When it comes to you, you can't tolerate yourself. You can't take it. You are very impatient with yourself. No, it's not supposed to be like that. That's not patient with yourself. The Bible speaking in 1 Samuel 13. Yeah, there's a story of Brother King Saul. And Saul was supposed to wait in that story. Just wait. In 7 days, I will come around. All right. We'll make the sacrifices and then we'll go to battle. Saul waited day one, day two. He was waiting, maybe day seven, maybe 3 hours to go. It was like, my men are scattering. Things are happening already. We are losing. That one is happening. How much more will I wait? Why not just do it? And the moment he made that sacrifice, Samuel showed up. Immediately he made that sacrifice. I don't know how many minutes was remaining that. You know, you have been waiting. It means that sometimes you're even waiting still, but there's a posture to waiting, though. There's a posture to patience, though. There's a posture to it, so. If not that Mrs. Antisera did what she did, we'll not have Ishmael matter this day. She was waiting, though, but there was a posture to that waiting. And Saul did what he did. Immediately, Samuel appeared. Immediately, Samuel appeared. What kind of foolish thing have you done like this? We don't know, look, we'll have waited now. Of course, he had excuses. This one, that one. That's reason, you know. God displaced Saul. So when you are impatient, you may lose a big blessing. Your impatience is destructive. Impatience is destructive. It can destroy God's plan and purpose for your life. It can make you make wrong choices. Like in marital relationships. Hold on. You don't know this guy. You just met him 2 months ago. He wants to marry you 3 months' time. Do you know him? No. Do you know? Some people don't even know the course he studied. They don't even know his son's name. And they're already in a relationship. Wait. Let us even test him. Let him come and see us. Let us ask him. If we ask him a question before. How many brothers have been in love in this church? You'll not raise their hand now. Come and answer question. Let us help you check him out. Where his head is in the house. Do you get? We are here one day. You get? Let's help you check. If you're not patient, you'll make a wrong decision because you are in a hurry. You want to marry at 25, you want to marry at 21. You have a target for yourself, and that's not God's timing. God is building you in those seasons. You know, before I get admission to school, I waited. I'm trying to remember how long I waited. I waited. The painful thing of my waiting was that I was not failing the exam. That won't pay me pass. I was always passing. If it's not best on the list, I'm the second best. I took an exam one time and somebody met my dad. Said, oh, he knows my dad. So I was like, don't worry, I'll add marks to it. My daddy said, you don't need to add marks. She's going to pass. That one I'm sure of. It's for the school to choose that. I don't know why they don't always choose me. I didn't know God was working on me. Did you know that when you are patient, it's a season where God builds you, builds a level of capacity in you. Come look at James. James chapter 1. I'll show you something. James 1, 3 to 4. What patience does for you? Let's do NLT, please. NLT. He says, for you, can we read it together? Verse 4. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. He says, when it is fully developed, if I development, there's a story of the Chinese bamboo. When you plant the seed, nothing happens. First year, second year, third year, fourth year. In the fifth year, it's like a miracle just happens. And in about 6 weeks, it grows 90 feet. Do you think that thing grew just in that 6 weeks, 90 feet? It has been growing for how many years? Why was it growing like that? So that when it comes out, the eyes can be able to resist whatever is coming. I didn't know God was building me. In those seasons, what was I doing? I was always going to church. I would be praying. I joined ushering. I joined book selling. I joined cooking ministry. I joined a lot of things. But I later left praying department. But that combined disturbed me. I left it for the Lord. I went to serve the Lord in another place. And so I was in all of those places. I didn't know that God was building me. Because what I would have been exposed to in school, by the time I saw what school was about, I thought my secondary school was bad. I said, oh my goodness. I didn't know that God was building a capacity in me. I didn't know. I had no idea until I had this particular experience. So when you are not patient in life, you can destroy God's plan and purpose for you. You can make wrong choices. Please take note of that. Impatience makes you make wrong choices. You will make, if you're not patient, you make wrong choices. Wrong school, wrong career, wrong investments. Wrong friends, wrong location, because you are impatient. But when you are patient, you can actually hear God's voice. Praise God. So you have to learn to be patient. Learn to be patient. Be kind to people. Be forgiving. Be tolerant. Tolerate other people's faults. Know that you are not perfect. And that other people also can make mistakes. But be ready to walk that season with them. So how then does the Holy Spirit help the believer cultivate patience? How then does the Holy Spirit help the believer cultivate patience? Patience is not something that comes naturally, all right? It comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us to trust God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He helps us to trust God's timing. That's what patience does for us. The Holy Spirit helps us to trust God's timing. That there is a time to everything. There is a time God is waiting to perfect certain things. And that when you are patient, he is working in you. So that you'll be thoroughly mature. You will lack nothing. That's what it means. It means that he's studying your roots in him. He's deepening your roots in him. So that whatever challenges comes against you in life later on, you are strong enough to withstand those things. You are strong enough to withstand those things. Patience is important. It's not something to joke with as a believer. It may not come easy sometimes, but this is what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. It can never come naturally. It can never, ever come naturally. It comes by the Spirit of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, and it teaches you to wait on him. When Simon waited for the consolation of Israel, you know, we see the Holy Spirit assuring him something. He says that, while he was busy praying, when will the consolation of Israel come? When are we going to see this and see that? When will that deliverer come? When will that Messiah come? And God gave him a promise that he's not going to die until he sees. And he prayed for years until he finally saw the Messiah before he passed on. So you must learn to wait and be patient. It is in patience, it's in this walk of patience that you find peace in God. You find peace in God. That's how to walk in patience. That's the posture of being patient. If you're working with God, you find peace in him that I don't entirely understand the situation. I don't understand why this thing doesn't seem to be happening when I want it to happen. Yet, I have some level of peace. Number two, the Holy Spirit produces inner calm during delays. Can we open our Bibles to Philippians 4, 6, verse 6 and verse 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Verse 7, please. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this peace is not gotten by the peace that the world gives. It's not gotten by overconfidence in the flesh. No, it's gotten by the Spirit. It's gotten from the place of the Spirit. That is God that has made this promise to me. It's God that has said this thing, then I have this peace. Where I don't have to bother so much. I just know that I have God in this. You may be waiting for a job. You may be waiting for a spouse. You may be waiting for a promotion. You may be waiting for a business deal. You may be waiting for a gig. You may be waiting for anything. And then this calmness and assurance comes that, though it's not happening now, but it would happen. It's like that moment where God says to you that, I got your back. If it doesn't matter what is happening, don't worry about all of the storms, all of the procedures, all of the processes. Don't worry. I'm with you on this. And I have your interest at heart. And then you move with God patiently. Because the moment you become impatient, you know, you start looking for shortcuts and looking for your own way out. And that's what leads to destruction. That's what happens to Saul. You are looking for your own way out. Can I do it myself? It's as if God is becoming too slow. God is taking my time. God is wasting my time. So I think I have other ways to figure it out. Exactly what happened to Mrs. Sarah. She thought that she'll be seed is seed. She'll be the brand that will bring the seed. Anybody who carry the belly doesn't matter right now. It's the seed that is the focus. Not knowing that, no, that's not how God planned it. And do you know that in that moment of impatience, of making that wrong decision, it may ruin everything. Let me go again. It may ruin everything, and let me add this, for the rest of your life. It's not every time everybody gets a second chance. You know, we started service today, and I was saying that God was calling my heart to mercy. But that's not what I think. I was perceiving mercy in a different way. I saw that the extension of God's mercy towards us is patience. If you make that mistake, you may never be able to recover. That moment of impatience, of not waiting to say, I'm waiting. The Bible says that we should keep ourselves, we should not have sex until we are married. That patience, that we be patient, that we wait. If this is married, when I marry, I will do it. That moment of not being patient, that single moment of making that mistake can cause somebody to take a contract a disease that will ruin them for the rest of their lives. They can contract a disease that will limit their option of choosing a spouse. Somebody has HIV AIDS, for example. You think somebody can marry? No, my brother, my sister, no. You'll be looking for your core family members that we are sharing HIV together so that I can marry each other. Because how do you tell somebody that I'm HIV positive and they say, oh, you are blessed, the Lord spoke to me, I should marry. The Lord did not speak, sir. They cannot even believe, even if the Lord says it, they cannot believe that it's the voice of God. They know the voice of God, but they will say, no, Satan is disguising like an angel of light. This voice is not the voice of God. So that moment of impatience, that simple moment of being impatient and making a decision at that time, is not the best time to make a decision. You must wait, you must be calm. And this calmness is what you get from the Spirit. It's the calmness that you get from the Spirit before you make any decision whatsoever. Say your neighbor, be patient. If it's a brother, say my brother, be patient. If it's a sister, say my sister, be patient. Tell them, say my sister. Macrotumia. You don't know what that means? Patience. So when you say anybody that is being impatient, just tell them, my brother, macrotumia. Tell them so that they know that you have to be patient in life. There's no need to worry. There are certain things that only God will do at his perfect timing. Number three, the Holy Spirit strengthens us to endure people's weaknesses. The Holy Spirit strengthens us to endure people's weaknesses. We've been married for 10 years by God's grace, and my husband has been one patient man with me. And it's not everything that, oh, I have plenty good behavior. I have bad behavior too. But really, my husband has been very patient with me. Let's celebrate him, honestly speaking. I'm just being honest. It's not easy to be patient with people's weaknesses. Because when somebody's patient with your weakness, it means that the tendency that you will change is not even very close or very near. It means you must have endurance and long suffering. We will now move away from patience and enter long suffering. You must have it. How do you tolerate people's weakness? How do you accept them like that and still be willing to walk that journey with them, even if you feel like sometimes they are frustrating you or not making the things you want to work? Yet you are still with them on that, and that's a commitment of marriage. That's a commitment of marriage. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So dealing with difficult people tests our patience the most. Then the Holy Spirit helps us to see through the eyes of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. So how does this happen? By stopping when you're angry. That's how you tolerate people's weaknesses. You know that it is easier for you, when you have power over somebody, it's easier for you to be angry with them and react than when you don't have power over them. Let me give a typical example. So you're working with a boss in the office organization, and then your employer, you're angry with your employer, but there's nothing much you can do. When you remember that this is a man that puts salary into your account, even if you don't have patience, you will have it by the flesh that day, even if not by the Spirit. But somebody that you have power over, like your employee, or like your friend, or like a sibling, or like a neighbor, people that you feel like, you know how they say that, are you feeding me? I'm not feeding you now. But it says that in those moments of anger, you will be, drink water. Tell somebody drink water. That's a good time to drink water. Yeah. It's a good time to also pray. Just speak in tongues in those moments. When you want to react, those moments, just speak in tongues. Just be calm. Or drink, if you drink water, there'll be water in your mouth. Arema bale. It's a technical, it's a spiritual, unspiritual technique. But it works. Just drink water. Your body will calm down. So in those moments, you are upset. You really want to react. Take a pause. Pastor Marcus will always say sometimes that you should think of the consequences of your action before you take them. If many people do this all the time, we have less troubles. What I'm about to say now, will it break this person? Am I reacting to what this person is saying, or I'm trying to actually listen and find a solution? So be patient in those situations. That's not the time to react. Calm down before you say anything. Because the best words are the worst words unsaid. Words are powerful. And so if you say them to somebody, they may remember for the rest of their lives. It may be very difficult to erase, so you must be careful the things that you say. So stop reacting in anger. Learn to pause and pray before responding. Number four, the Holy Spirit builds resilience and perseverance. In Genesis 39, we'll see the story of Joseph. How the Holy Spirit builds resilience and perseverance in him. He waited. God made a promise to him. God made a promise to him. And then when his brother sold him, look as if this promise is never going to come to pass. But he was still waiting. It was a good time for him to turn his back on God and say, Abba, this is not the deal. When I even get to that Egypt, I'll just be behaving anyhow I like. I'll marry all the women. I'll misbehave. No. He looked at that moment as if that's a failing moment for him. But he was resilient. He was, I keep moving. I keep pushing. I keep going. I will not give up in this. Even when he was still kind to someone, he still was forgotten for another 2 years until he was remembered. Yet, he kept going. All those things don't come by the flesh. They come by dwelling in the place of the Spirit, by staying with God, by allowing the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that works that fruit in us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not called the fruit of the flesh, because we cannot produce it. Only the Holy Spirit. And we can only produce it when he's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that good pleasure is patience. One of it. To will and to do of God's good pleasure. So it's the one that allows the willingness, that wells up the willingness in us to behave in a certain way. And we follow him, we will be made. You know what it means to be made? You'll be well cooked. That's what it means. You'll be well cooked, you'll be mature. It says, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing, you will not lack anything. Because patience is a foundation that you must lay. Like I said, there will be times in your life where you have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait on God's promise. Abraham waited a long time. It must not have been an easy walk, but he waited. Sometimes you have to wait on God's promise. And waiting on God's promise doesn't come so easy. Because sometimes you are impatient. Sometimes you are looking at the timing. Sometimes you have other things you are hoping to have achieved at a certain age or a certain season of your life. And it seems like God isn't coming through. But in those moments, what do? You still be patient. Because your impatience will not bring solutions. It will only add to problem. It will only bring problem after problem after problem. And that's why you must wait. So the Holy Spirit builds resilience and perseverance. Romans 5. Can we please see Romans 5? Verse 3. You can do an NLT, please. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. That's patience. Perseverance does. This ingredient now, I need it later. Maybe not now, but you will understand it later on. You will appreciate it better later. You may not appreciate it now. That's understandable. But later you would. So Joseph was there. He could have given up on his faith. He could have said, God, this is not what you talked about. This is not the dream that you showed me. I mean, why are you doing like this to me? Are you no longer keeping your promise? I've been waiting here. And I'm even innocent. This woman said I wanted to sleep with her. She wanted to rape her. And I'm even innocent. Why are you treating me like this? I thought you were a just God. I thought you were a good God. People that like asking God plenty of questions. They actually sit God. In fact, learn to be patient with God too. Allow God to take his time to do what he wants to do. You sometimes, and they are having a list of questions, questioning God. Because they feel that God is not doing the thing the way they want it to be done. And patience is what he will do for you. In those moments, in those seasons, you will say, no, I'm not giving up on my faith or my purpose. What God has told me to do is what I will still do. I am only going through a process. I'm only going through a phase. I'm only going through a phase. Then in those moments like that, the Holy Spirit also helps you to maintain consistency in prayer, in service and obedience. If you are going through a season where you have to wait and be patient and you're not praying, you cannot scale through. You need that prayer. You need that prayer as a strengthener. You need that prayer as an energizer. You need that prayer as something that exercises you and keeps you going. So you must be consistent in the place of prayer. You must be consistent in the place of prayer. Then you grow stronger under pressure. That's what this does for you. That's how the Holy Spirit builds resilience and perseverance. Helps you to grow stronger even when you're under pressure. You know, sometimes you can really face a lot of pressure that you are willing to do anything at that time just so that you belong to a class of, maybe everybody's getting married, for example, and you're really under pressure. Everybody's asking you, what's happening to you? You're at this age. Why are you not getting married? Why is somebody coming? And at that time, you just feel like, so far, I'm a man. I'm okay. Any man can come now. I'll just say yes. If you're not praying in those seasons, you'll make wrong decisions. So what you do in those waiting seasons, one of the postures is to pray. Is to pray. That, Lord, I'm being strengthened in this time. I'm being strengthened in this season. I was so sure that I wasn't going to get admission. I really didn't know when. But I kept writing this exam. And if I even failed, maybe I would have said, oh, at least I failed. The fact that I wasn't failing was another thing. Because I didn't understand. Because why won't you give me admission? Why am I having to wait? So what was I doing in those seasons? I was serving. What are you doing in your season of waiting? You cannot be folding your hands and waiting. And just say, I'm just waiting. When God happens. No. You must show a posture that means that no matter how long it takes, Lord, I'm still here with you. I will be serving. I will still be walking in obedience. I will not say, my mates, they say that when you are 20, you enter menopause. Let me just carry belly now. I know that at least I have a child in my lifetime. No. You will wait. In due season, it will happen. Tell your neighbor, in due season, it will happen. It will happen. But you must learn to wait. You must learn to stay in the place of prayer and serve. Some people sometimes they say they are patient with God, but they are angry with God, though. They are fighting God. They don't talk to God in the morning. They don't talk to God when they come to church. After now, they are gone. That's all. Because they are feeling that God is not doing what they want God to do at a certain time, and so they are upset with God. Can you forgive God? Forgive him already and let's move on. Close that chapter and say, God, I forgive you. Can you come back? When you are waiting, there's a posture to it. Service is one of those postures. Service helps you put your focus on God and not man. In those times, I will cook for my pastors. Every Tuesday, I remember back then, they had a video, pastor's video. I will be cooking jollof rice and chicken. I can't forget. Been cooking how many times I became skilled. No, besides, I've been cooked like that. You get, but learning and be patient with my errors. Hello. I started cooking well. So I was serving. Anywhere I'm needed, I was there. If it's evangelism, you will see me. Anything that is needed, if it is the house of God and I am needed, or no, if it's human being is needed, if it's somebody that is needed, like human being, I'll be there. That's what I was doing. One of my friends almost committed suicide because she didn't get admission. She was frustrated. There's another person that I wrote, as she wrote jam like this, bam. We finished school, she wrote jam, she entered school. In fact, her mom couldn't pay her school fees at the time. It was my dad who stepped in. And me, I didn't have admission. I could have said, why will you pay her school fees? Me, if I have a different one. Hey. No. Pay it. I was serving. I had a posture of waiting. My relationship, I waited. Even though my first relationship was error, I was still patient. Patiently entering into error. It's better. At least I'll say, I waited though. I was praying. No, I mean, no year well. More than, you asked me out today. Tomorrow I've said yes. No. 1 year, 6 months. Is it a child's play? Pastor never asked me for your voice. Pastor asked me out in 1 day. I mean, PM, sir. 1 day, and I said yes. We already know. Forget that thing. We already know the spirit. What are we delaying for? I have prayed. I already know. Will you spend the rest of my life with me? Blah, 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 blah. Yes, I will. Case closed. I give it a certain. When you know. Don't need to waste time. But at least I can say that I waited. I was waiting. And I was praying in those seasons. Some of you have 2 girls that you like. You have 5 girls that you like. Five people that you like. You will pray. That's waiting. Don't be in a hurry. This one, no. can't do that. You will wait on God until a year. I will not see. Relationship is one of the things that you need to hear from God. I'm very serious. I know that there are people that their work with God, there's always, you know, there's people that, like, they know, there's this knowing. Okay. There's this knowing, you know. I know that there's this knowing. But I advise you, I encourage you, I admonish you in the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of the Lord. When it comes to marriage, try and just hear God's voice. Try. Just try. But be familiar with it first before that time. So there's a posture to it. There's a posture of waiting. It doesn't mean you are waiting. You are praying. You are serving. You have said that thing has not yet happened. That business has not yet clicked. You are trusting God that this my business will grow. I know that I'm an international distributor. I know this. I know that. Yes, you are serving in church. You are coming and serving. I say, I mean that I'm MD of company. I'm a CEO. I will still clean the toilets. I will still do this. I will not be upset with God because God has not done something, has not granted the desires of my heart. Then I will stop serving. No. In that posture of serving is when God will even answer. God needs to see that you are ready for whatever it is, whatever it takes. Lord, I'm ready. I will give you whatever it takes. So you must serve and pray. In your season of waiting, don't let prayer be far from you. Talking to God and communicating with God is very important. In fact, sometimes that moment of patience, of waiting on God, of praying, is how you even begin to hear God's voice. People start having encounters. It's no longer about that thing that you're asking God for. Before, you know, it's no longer about that guy you're saying, God, I want to know, is it A or is it B? It's no longer about that. It's no longer about business that you're asking for expansion about. It's not about encounters with God, because you are doing it from the place of prayer. You are building resilience and perseverance. That whatever happens, I pick myself up again. I keep going. It may look as if it's been delayed, but God's got this sorted. And I will walk with him on this. I will walk with him on this. Praise God. Number five, the Holy Spirit encourages us through God's word. The Holy Spirit encourages us through God's word. You must stay with God's word. In learning what patience is, in learning how patience builds you, in learning how patience helps you to tolerate other people, how it helps you to forbear, you learn those things from the word of God. The word of God teaches you about God and the God character. And then from reading the word of God, you can see the character of yourself, if you are doing the character of the Bible or you are not, from reading God's word. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to comfort and encourage our hearts when a patient tries to set in. It brings to remembrance scriptures that strengthens our resolve to wait on God. And that's one of the reasons that you must learn the scriptures. In those seasons of having to wait, either waiting on God's promise, either waiting on being patient to somebody's weakness, either with regards to forbearance and forgiveness, either with regards to long suffering, either with regards to perseverance or resilience, whatever part of patience God is working with you on, stay on the word. Tell somebody, stay on the word. Tell another person, stay with the word. Tell another person, stay in the word. Stay around the word. Be with the word. Let the word be in you. Be in the, any which way. Just have the word of God on the inside of you. When you have the word of God, it comes to you as light that lightens your path. And the word of God, when it comes to you in that moment, that's the strength. It doesn't even have to be the whole of the Bible. It can just be one word. One of the reasons I know that I will shine in this life is when God gave me a promise from the book, Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. I used to say to myself, when I said, I now add my own version to it, they know they hide my type. I'm the light of the world. When I called that promise, I knew that there's nothing the enemy wants to do. You see that shine, I'm going to shine it. I will shine that light. Because that's God's word. What is God's word to you? What is God's word to you? If you don't have God's word on inside, you don't have something that's helping you to run. Nothing's fueling your energy. God's word is like an energizer or energy drink. When you drink that word, you tell yourself, forget it. Hey, I know what God told me. Other people like that, they are sure. It's not that I was just reading the Bible. Inside the reading of the Bible, I was reading it. That thing jumped at me into my spirit. You have been reading it since, so. But that day, God spoke to you in a different way. And so you are holding to that word. You are holding to that word. Pastor Mavis shared one time, I said that when we're having this building project, not before, yeah, while I was still at Agboroko, and he was thinking, how would these things be? I mean, I have a lot of young people. Do they have this money to raise all of these? Where do we start from again? I attend just fell at that time. And he said, God spoke to him and said, faithful is he that called. He was so sure that this thing will work. Why? The person that called is one that is faithful. I'm not counting on your faithfulness. I'm telling you that me that I called you, I'm faithful. That thing I've said, I'm going to do it. So what is God's word to you? That's the word that you fight with in seasons of waiting. That's the word that you fight with. If you don't have it, you cannot run like the way other people are running. People tell you that they have a revelation of the word. When I was in school back then, I remember that there was this particular course that we did, and the man asked us to pay a certain amount of money to do a production. I didn't pay because I didn't like the production. I mean, why would I be in 300 level and producing cartoon book at my age? And I'm doing mass communication. Can we do something that is more serious with our lives? So I said, I'm not going to pay. And if you don't pay, you will fail. That's automatic carryover. So I had four of my friends that joined me. I said, okay, let me explain. This is the thing. My revelation is different. Me, I cannot fail. So I'm not saying to follow my footsteps. But me, I know what God has told me. See, I cannot fail. It's that one. I will not. So don't really exactly follow my footsteps in this one. Maybe you should go and pay. They didn't pay. Guess what? None of us failed. It was only me and just my friends. That lecturer caused me one man mopo. It was only me and my friends that didn't pay in that account. The other people that tried it, some people won't pay. They stay at Carry River. I was studying one day, and then God spoke to me specifically about a question that will not come out. And I closed my book and I stopped reading. My friends noticed. I'm like, what's happening here? I say, I don't know exactly how to say it. But it's like, hey, God told me that this question will not come. My friend said, hey, I took him. The way you closed that book. She said, she's not. I said, no. See, now you're going to read this one. He said, no. I said, me, I have a revelation, no. I cannot fail. I said, even if it comes at examination, oh, God will cover it for me. I have, plus mercy and grace, they are working in my favor. So don't follow my, she said, forget that thing. My four, I'll be three friends again. Close down. No, they didn't read it again. This is wrong. I'm telling you. Lo and behold, it did not even come out inside the examination hall. And the man told us to buy a textbook that question would come out. It did not even come out as an option. It was not there at all. That day, me said, I fear God. I was like, God, you are too much. Why was I running like that? I had the word. I was sure of the word that I had from God that this is it. You are not going to fail. I had the word. You cannot really run with another person's revelation. I don't know how grace cover for those people. But maybe the grace of God of my life rubbed up on them. But I'm saying that you have to have your own word to run with. What if that thing came at an exam? Me, I'm sure that I will still not fail. I will still not fail. I don't know how, but I will not. What is God's word to you? If you don't have God's word in the season of being patient, or forbearing, or forgiving other people, of perseverance, of resilience, what will you run with? Especially when it has to do with being patient with God's promise. The devil will try you. He will tell you God has forgotten you. God doesn't really care like that, like you think that he cares. I mean, why would you be asking him for admission for 2 years? God that has seen that you that Ishekushi is what I'm going to do. And he's protecting you now by not giving you the admission so that you'll be listening to certain things and be building yourself and be busy with other things. Some of you, God is teaching you a skill. So when you get to school, or when you get to the marketplace, or when you get to NYSC camp, you'll not do Ishekushi there. But you say, why did not call up like that? it's your own that God is doing. God is protecting you. What is your word in those seasons of waiting? I want to marry. Yes, marriage is good. What is your word? Do you know by studying the word, God can open your eyes to say that, my brother, your character is bad. That's why you don't have anybody. It's not me now. Yes, because by reading God's word, it's like a mirror. And it's not like the Bible says, you are mirroring yourself in God's word and say, oh, my character doesn't align with this. I know that I have joy, but I'm not kind. I know that I have joy. Hey, I'm joyous, but I don't have kindness. Kindness is not really showing. But I'm not patient with people. If I just talk to her, she said no like this. I've hated her. I'm not patient. I'm going to be working on you. I'm going to be working on you. By reading the word, in the word of God, you will actually see if you are doing well or you're not doing well. Romans 15:4. Through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So when you feel like the time is passing, the Spirit reminds us in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Come on, Isaiah 40, 40 verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's what the Bible says. It's those who put their trust in the Lord. It's those who wait on the Lord. It's those who are patiently waiting. And in that waiting season, the posture is service. You know how you wait on somebody? You go to a restaurant and they say, waiter. They wait on you. They serve your food, get you water, they get you drink, anything. They are waiting to serve you. That's this waiting. That when you wait on the Lord. So you are waiting on the Lord in the place of service. You are waiting on the place of service. So it renews your strength. Scripture becomes your source of strength. Your response to delay, you begin to respond to delay with faith and not fear. With faith and not fear. You also learn to speak God's promises over your waiting season. All right. You learn to speak God's promises over your waiting season. When you are waiting, in your waiting season, it's not a time to be discouraged. Discouragement may try to show up, but don't welcome it. People will whisper things and suggest things to you, but don't let it sink in. Things will fly around. You'll be tempted to try all manner of options and alternatives, but don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Hold on to God. Praise God. So you learn to speak God's promises over your waiting season. It's God's promises. You're not your own promise, not your own timing, not your own agenda. You learn to speak God's word. And that's why I was encouraging us to have God's word with you, in you, around you, by you, on you, whichever. But have God's word. Those are the promises that you hold on to, that you said this. That none shall lack a mate. If the Bible says none shall lack your mate, and I'm willing not to lack my mate, I will have my mate. It says in Exodus that none will be barren in the land, that they will not have miscarriage. None will be barren in the land. None. It means that even if a woman does not have a child now, she's not barren. Because that's the promise she's holding on to, that none will be barren. That's what God says. It's not my word. And so you can hold very dearly, very tenaciously to that word. You can embrace it in your life, knowing that this is God's promise to me. I have it. And so in seasons when you're holding on to God's promise, you are being patient with God. Let me put it that way, all right? You're being patient with God in the promise that He has made to you. Study the word. Study the word. Pray, serve, 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 study the word. In studying the word, you will see many more things and many more of those promises. And God's word can never fail. I didn't tell your neighbor, God's word can never fail. No, talk to them as an encouragement and an assurance that God's word can never fail. Can we say with the extra energy that God's word can never fail? God's word can never fail. God's word can never fail. If God says something, He's going to do it. It takes a while because He has to even be sure that we're even trusting Him. I mean, He needs to allow us to walk with Him so that it's not just about what we want, but that we really trust Him and He can do this. And so God's word will not fail. Whatever God has promised to do, God is going to do it. God will show up. He will. He will show up. The Holy Spirit is not just the giver of this spiritual, it's not just the giver of spiritual gifts. It's also the gardener of the spiritual gifts. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to ensure that this fruit of the Spirit, like Pastor Mavis told us when he started that, it's not called the fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit, more like a fruit that has nine parts. More like if you eat this particular fruit like this, this fruit is called the fruit of the Spirit. That's the name of the fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. FOS, that's the name of the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, that's the name. So if you now eat this fruit now, as I'm eating it, there's love inside. There is peace. There is joy. There is patience. You understand now? There's kindness. Those things are inside that fruit. So it's not like it's plenty fruit, it's one. So maybe the part of the fruit that you have eaten now is only the love part. But you're not patient with human beings. You're very impatient. Or maybe you have eaten the peace part. You have peace, so you trust God in no situation, none of that, but your love tank is not full. The Holy Spirit is saying, allow me, eat everything. It's a total thing. All the nutrients are there. Eat everything. Every single thing is complete in it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is asking us. So patience is not a weakness. It's a spiritual strength under control. And it blossoms when you walk with the Spirit on a daily basis. It's not a weakness to be patient. It's not. It's a strength that fortifies you and your foundation so that when the storms of life comes, you have built a level of height and capacity. You have built a level of sturdiness. You are sturdy to the ground. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be moved. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And I pray for us this evening that the Spirit of God, you know, that we allow the Spirit of God work in you so that you can learn what patience is. At this time, I'd like to call up our dear man of God to take over from here.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you celebrate Pastor Chuna, please? I've been patient because she has taken all the time, so I've just been patient. I was trying to manifest patience, so I didn't want to say it. And maybe you should be patient like 10 o'clock. It's patience we're learning today, so just be patient. Praise God. I'm sure you have been blessed by that word. Yes, it was such an amazing word. I enjoyed it all through. And we're going to take the next, let's see if I can take kindness for 15 minutes. Let's see what happens. Because I really want her to take questions. I want us to take questions because I know some of us have questions in our hearts. Am I in sync? So kindness, let's look at kindness. Kindness is a disposition to be gentle. Another word, another translation, some translations we use kindness, some others we use gentleness. Are we here together? Yes. A quiet person is not necessarily gentle. That the person is quiet doesn't mean that the person is gentle. Are we here together? You need to understand that. Because gentleness means to be soft-spoken. A person can be quiet until they speak. And you were thinking they were gentle because they were quiet until you started hearing them voice thunder and brimstone. They realized that they were not really quiet. They just kept themselves. And the Bible says that if a fool keeps quiet, you assume the fool to be a wise person. And that's why sometimes it's good to keep quiet if you don't even know what to say. I'm telling you the truth. But in this case, when it has to do with kindness, you're saying a person is soft-spoken, that a person is even-tempered, they are cultured. They are cultured. A kind person is cultured. Just like what my wife was saying, you know, some people, you get out of a relationship with a person and you hate the person. Why? You're not a kind soul. If you're a kind soul, you might be hurt, you might feel bad, you might feel battered, but you know that you have to let go. That's the fruit of the Spirit. 80% of Christianity is based on what we're sharing in this series now. I hope you understand. Every other thing that you see people do in church is 20% of Christianity. It is quite unfortunate that we don't spend time focusing on this, because what makes us Christians, the word Christian is Christ-like. Christ-like. And what Christianity wants to achieve is to help you build the character of Jesus. And the character of Jesus is what we have been sharing now. We've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about peace, we've talked about patience, and now we're on what? Kindness. God wants us to be kind. Tell your neighbor, be kind. Yes, to have a refined character and conduct. Kindness. Kindness is active, you know, is a state of, you know, mind or heart where you consider other people to show them love regardless of how they have treated you. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Kindness does not treat people the way they deserve to be treated. It treats them right, even if they deserve to be treated the wrong way. It shows that the person is kind. Kindness can change your life. The reason a lot of marriages suffer is because the partners are not kind. The man is not kind enough to his wife. If he's kind, he would look after her own good and seek for the things that will make her better. The woman is not kind to the husband. I love Proverbs 31. She said, it says, a virtuous woman, she does her husband kind, she does her husband good all the days of her life. Each time I read it, I'm like, wow, all the days of her life, she does him good. Kind people do good. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Does it make sense to us? Yes. Kindness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. We're going to read it fast. Colossians 3, 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Then Ephesians 4, 32. It said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on mercies and what? Kindness. Put on what? Kindness. In other words, kindness can be something you dump. You have to put it on. Like I'm putting on this jacket, you put on kindness. Your flesh doesn't like it, you put it on. That's why the fruit of the Spirit. All these fruit of the Spirit we're saying now, they are inside of you, but you have to turn it on. It's like a seed. You have to nurture it so that it will grow. And as it begins to grow, the more it matures, then you are maturing as a believer. If the fruit of the Spirit is not maturing in you, you are a babe, even if you've been in church for 15 years. It doesn't matter how long you have been in church. What matters is the growth that we experience watching your character. Am I communicating here? There's something about being patient with people, like what Pastor Gina was saying. You're patient with people, but there's some people you understand that I am patient, but there's difference between patience and tolerance. You know, you can tolerate people. It shows that you are being patient with them, is that not? But while tolerating people, there are certain people you understand that for whatever reason, because it is going to probably affect a system or an organization, you have to move, but you will not put them away without kindness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will not allow you to frustrate my destiny. I will not push you out and make you feel less than yourself. But because I have to move, I will be kind to you, but I have to move. So you're still displaying the fruit of the Spirit, but you're not allowing the progress of an organization to be stifled. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? So that I can have a staff in church I'm working with, and because I'm not getting my results, I get the person off the job, but I still show you kindness, and we can still be in church. Or because I want to be kind, I should frustrate the gospel. So the fruit of the Spirit has a way you balance these things. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So I've done everything that I can. I've been patient enough, and I'm doing what I need to do. But if I realize that the person is not changing, I will not tell the person, get out, you're very useless. No, I will explain to the person the situation of things, how that this calling and what we're doing is superior, and all of us cannot allow it. And if I have other alternatives or options, or I see a place where the person can fit in, I will make provision for the person. Sometimes somebody came to me and said that, he had the opportunity to give somebody a job or something, so he reached out to me because he knows that the person treated me in a way that wasn't very nice. So he reached out to me to say, ah, Pastor, that I have this opportunity. Do you think I should call the person? I said, why not? He said, yeah. I said, yes. That the person is not in my space. That the person has treated me in such a manner that it's not supposed to be doesn't mean that if I see an open door coming, I'll shut it. I'm not God. I can shut the door and God decides to open it. It's a privilege to always be the door opener for somebody. Because if you don't open the door, God will open it. Another person will open it. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say here. So you need to learn how to be kind, opening doors for people, doing things for people. Some people just, you see, especially ladies that have not eaten chicken before, if you take them to fast food, they misbehave. They just want the security guy is trying to push the door open. Just lend a little bit of hand and just put it. And she's like, open it now. How much is the chicken? Just be kind. Are we here together? Give some support. Greet the person at the gate. The gate man is not less in human quality than you are. Your exposure might be higher and everything, but in substance, we are all human beings. Am I communicating here? So you must understand your house help is not less a human being than you are. Some of us had parents that had house help, and you were the one that drove that house help away. Your behavior so hard, so tough. Say, no, carry the place. No, you can't treat people like that. You have to show them a level of what? Kindness. Do you know that it was the kindness that Abigail, when David was about to kill this guy, she was soft-spoken. She spoke very well. And David saw her and said, Kai, I won't kill this guy again. And eventually David had to go and marry her because he saw the character in her that he wanted. Do you know it was kindness that helped Rebecca get married to Isaac? Is it Isaac? Isaac and Rebecca now? Yeah. She saw the man coming to the well. He's been on a journey with his camel and how many camels. And the man had already prayed that the quality that he wants is kindness. The reason you might not be getting married is kindness. Yes. The reason you might not be making sales, you don't sound well. You see, these things, if you know the fruit of the Spirit, customer service will be very easy. Everything about life, what God has given to us, he has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Many people, when somebody comes to buy something, no, leave it, don't touch it again. Beg. Waka, 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 waka. Carry your two left leg, come out here. And they want to make sales. And at the end of the day, they say, I'm not making sales. This one, that one. No. There's a way to talk to a customer that doesn't buy something, but the next time the person will refer somebody that will buy times 10. Kindness. Am I communicating? Is it making any sense to us here? So we must learn to be kind. Kindness does not treat people the way they deserve, but with goodness. Joseph was kind to his brothers. Do you know his brothers are going to love? He has been patient all the while. If you notice, patience, you know, went through the... If Joseph had to calculate all the struggles of his life, the day he saw his brothers, he would have just used something to break their head. Just consider, say, you, come. For Potiphar's house. Oh, you, come here. For the pit. Oh. But David, Joseph saw all of them, and he was even crying. That means he had the Holy Spirit had touched his heart. Some of us, you don't have a soft heart. You don't cry. Learn to cry. Your heart is too hard. Obiokute, learn to cry. Say, Pastor, it's not my kind of person. Not my kind of person. But Joseph was crying. He was emotional because he saw his brothers. And he just imagined in his heart that, wow, this is the person that should have helped me, but he betrayed me. This one, that one, that, wow, all of them. And the next thing he would have done is, you know, let these guys do like 3 years in prison first. And let's know what. But he gave them food. He gave them clothes. He changed their lives. If somebody treats you bad, will you treat evil for evil? Think about it. This is Christianity. Look at your neighbor and say, this is Christianity. It's the tough side of Christianity. It's the tough side of our faith. Somebody broke your heart. Then you become the, you know, HR person to interview him for a job. And you say, you know, for this life, may you not get the job. It means that you're not a kind person. If you have opportunity to help somebody, regardless of what they have done, as far as you know that your help for them will not make them destroy you directly, you can show them help. The person is not a hired killer, just that he broke your heart. You can still work in the organization and be somewhere else. Am I communicating? Yes. Kindness to our neighbors. Regardless of how our neighbors behave, we must show kindness. While driving, allow pedestrians cross. Some people are driving. People don't want to cross their leg. Wait. Pedestrians too, don't stay anyhow sluggishly. We can't be learning patience while driving. It's not easy. Some people, they don't have brakes. So people, their brake does not break in their brain until they see a human being. And I usually advise pedestrians a lot, ensure that you don't just hang around cars anyhow, because the truth is that you don't know who's driving. Some people, when they just see past, just starting like, No, just move fast. That's where we are, the country where we are in. In another place, you can see a zebra crossing and walk like a zebra. But here, if you see a zebra crossing, jump like an antelope. Are we here together? Yeah, because some of the people are not civilized. Many of them are not. So you have to be more careful. You have to be more careful. Kindness. Show acts of kindness. Offer to carry someone's load. Some people see older women, older men, older people, and you don't want to offer to carry their load. You feel like, why am I going to help her? That's your mother's mate. That's like your grandmother. And you're going the same direction, not like it's anything too serious for you. You can support that person. You can help that person. Those days it was common. I think respect is in prison now. I hope it comes out in this generation. Because respect has been in prison. People don't show respect anymore. They don't show respect, kindness. They don't. Those days when you see somebody coming with something heavy as an adult, so you go and help them, you support them. But these days, people are just, they don't press, they just keep their phone. So people intentionally do it. That's not kindness. You don't have a kind heart. Tell your neighbor, be kind-hearted. Yes, share food. Can your stubborn roommate share food with her? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I used to have a roommate when we were on campus. If I cooked the food, I did everything, then it would remain one egg. You know when it remains only one egg? And you're not supposed to cut the egg now. At least you understand. If it's meat, I understand. If it's fish, this, my roommate, will share the egg. That's my egg. My egg. Egg of life. But he will share it. I had days where I was really offended. And you know, he doesn't wash the plates also. He doesn't do the dishes. So when he's done eating, he'll just drop it. And that's all manner of stuff. But I had to endure. You know, like wife says, it's patience, endurance, long suffering. If it is marriage, it's long suffering. If it's relationship, endurance. Talking stage, patience. Are we here together? You see, as Christians, we must come to that place where we understand this. I usually wish when we teach like this that the whole church is present. Look at the number of people in this church. When they appear on Sundays, sometimes it's not very easy for us. If you notice, we are usually a little bit more patient and calm in our Tuesday service teachings. And some people are watching online. That's very good. Some people are online in their house right now. They're pressing their phones. I'll talk to them on Sunday since they are not here. So speak kind words to people. Don't be harsh. Volunteer to clean. Volunteer to help. Look at what Rebecca did. Rebecca said, I'm going to fetch water for you. And the man said, wow, does your father have a place where I can stay? He said, why not? You didn't even ask your father or whoever. It shows that in the family of Rebecca, they are kind people. You have one brother or sister, everybody's so harsh. You don't be like them. Do you know how much of favor would leave your doorstep and go to your neighbors because you're not showing kindness? Make up your mind that your own family will be a family of kind people. Am I communicating? Oh, I remember those days. There are days where you're seriously pressed. You know the kind of pressing where you have to hold yourself like this. You move like this. You go to the nearest fast food. And when you get there, you know, somebody's there and say like, see, we don't use our toilet here. I'm sorry, like, and you know you'll be overheating. That moment, you're already overheating. How many of you have had overheating before? All of a sudden, you're overheating, and the person is showing you the key. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Kindness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn to be kind. The Bible says, by showing acts of kindness, people have entertained angels. Do you know how many angels have walked away from people's life, their marriage, their family, because they are not kind people? If a beggar comes to you for something, if you don't have, don't just shout them off. Just tell them, I don't have it. I don't have it right now. It's better to say that than say, I remember one time, it used to come to my head like that. When the beggar begins to pray, and he begins to see all those their prayer, in my mind, I'll say, God, for don't answer your prayer now. Why is it? You won't pray for me. But I remember, I read the scriptures and I got to understand the Bible says that it is not because God did not answer their prayer. As a matter of fact, you might have something going in your life. The Bible says that he helps the poor and show kindness to the poor. In the day on their sick bed, he said, God will bring them up. When I read it, I said, what? That means there are some unbelievers that are delivered from their sick bed and some believers die because they don't show kindness. The reason some people will be alive on the face of the planet Earth, they are not believers. You hear me very well. But they believe they have a mandate to feed people every year. And every year, maybe they pay school fees for about 10 people or 15 people. And God says, this one cannot die now. Why? I control the system of the world. And if these 15 people don't go to school, there will be a problem to their family. But this one is here, that is a Christian. He will not help anybody. It's better we take this one. Since he has eternal life, I'll come to heaven. Let's leave this one on earth to do enjoyment on earth. He can burn in hell later. Amen. Peradventure, the person eventually, you know, the delaying of that person might eventually make them meet salvation. And they get saved too. And I can tell you the truth, God likes to save kind people. Oh, Cornelius was just somebody that was religious. Then one day, Peter had an encounter in a dream. And God said, you will visit Cornelius. He didn't say, Cornelius, go. And no, he said, you go to his house. Why? He said, Cornelius, your prayer and your almsgiving has come to heaven. Your almsgiving has come to heaven. Your almsgiving has come to heaven. That means this, your kindness, act of kindness, it has come to heaven. Do you know those days it was very difficult to get a preacher? But when what's her name? Dorcas died, They had to go look for Peter. And they said, "Bro, Peter, anywhere you are, any city, anybody, wherever you know Bro, Peter is, call him." And they left the body of Dorcas and they went to look for Peter. Why? The people there said they will not bury Dorcas. They brought their jackets, all the stuff she had sewn for them. She was good with, you know, knitting stuffs. And she did a lot of stuff for them. And they said she will not die. Do you know there's some people, the day they died, they said, the world go breathe out. Because somebody died. But this one died and they said, no, go and look for solution. Whatever the case. And when Peter came, he raised her back to life. Your act of kindness can be the game changer for your life. Learn to be kind. Learn to be kind. Am I speaking good here today? Yes, celebrate others' success without jealousy. Be patient with people when they make mistakes. It's true. Kindness to strangers. Offer direction to people who need direction. Give your seats to elderly people or pregnant women. Sometimes somebody sees a pregnant woman and the person is feeling like, are you getting what I'm saying now? Some of you are being patient with very wonderful partners. You know that kind of partner that you have when you are in church? He's already sending a message that the pastor's preached you already long, where would they go? And you're like, I want to serve God. You're excited, you're enjoying the word of God, but your partner is not enjoying it. That's the person you marry in your house. If you don't change that person and change the person's life, you have married wrong. Seller. So to be kind is to avoid doing anything that will hurt or cause pain to other people. Kindness is more than just doing good deeds. It is a conscious decision to live in such a way that your words, your action, your attitude will bring healing to people. Glory to God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teachings of kindness is in her tongue. Put it on the screen. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with what? Wisdom. And on her tongue is what? The law of kindness. Every woman, can you say the law of kindness is on my tongue? All the women, stand up, please. Stand up. Stand up. All the women, stand up. All the women, stand up. Say to yourself, I am a kind woman. God blessed me with a very kind woman. Yes. And I want all the ladies to say to yourself, I am a kind woman. My kind does only kindness. I do not do wickedness. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. Kind to my partner. Kind to my children. Kind to my in-laws. Some of you who are not married, say it. You're speaking into your future. Kind to my in-laws. Kind to strangers. Sit down in heavenly places. All the men, can we stand? Let's do our exercise. I'm a kind man. See the men, there are some of them are sitting down. That's a sign that you're not very kind. You're not kind to me. As your pastor, I want you to stand. Men grow up like, oh, well, that kind now for woman, the kind. Oh. No, you have to be a kind man to be able to train sons. Because the biggest problem of many young boys and many of us growing up is that we didn't meet kind people. That's why we are hard. Those young boys who grew with kind people, they are very tender with their wives. Oh, my father loved my mother so much, they went out together almost everywhere. We practically saw how they shared their food together. We practically saw how they bathed together. We practically saw how they treated themselves with goodness. If I do less, it is wickedness. I learned kindness. So say to yourself, I'm a kind man. I'm a good man. There's some men who leave their wives and they're sponsoring other people's children. Paying school fees, carrying a 16-year-old girl. And paying her school fees, and he has another girl that is at home, 18 years old, older than the one that is carrying. She doesn't pay her school fees. She will call and be begging, Daddy, Daddy, we'll never do anything. That's not kindness. Can you say to yourself, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God is upon my life. I am a kind man. I do good. Any woman that enters my life, you are made for life. Sit up in heavenly places. Avoid gossip and backbiting, betrayals. Avoid it. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth because gossip destroys people. A kind person will not do anything to destroy others. That's one of the things you do. One of the things you must learn to understand, kind people, they don't betray people. They don't backbite. When you backbite, you are not being kind. I'm rushing now so that I can stop here. A kind partner will do everything to pursue your good. Kindness is especially powerful in relationships. Like I already said it, in ministry, everywhere. A kind boss, even though they know whatever it is, they find ways to show some level of kindness. Kind employees do the same thing too. A very kind employee knows that you have your weakness and your failings, but they'll find a way to cover up for you. Kindness. If only we can have more kind people on the face of the earth. Oh my God, I drove one day and I didn't know that while we're coming, I think we're opening or something, and a policeman on the road, we didn't remember that he had not fixed that document. I think he forgot. But that kind, I was coming to preach here from Ojodu, and I looked at the policeman. I said, sir, please, I beg you. Ah! And he looked twice, three times. Then he said, go. Ah! My soul prayed for him. I prayed for him that in the next promotion he promoted. He may not know it, but my prayer has worked for him. But I've met some people that will beg them, say, pastor, now you be pastor now. Nothing will you do now. That's why you be pastor. Like, I don't know. It's not like I intentionally did this thing. I don't know. I'm not aware for whatever reason. And some people cannot show a little bit of kindness. I understand where the law has to take its place. I understand that very well. But there are times where it is in your power to help somebody. Find a way to do it. Am I communicating? Is everybody getting what I'm saying here? Yes. Yes. You have your sister's children. Show them kindness. Your brother's children, siblings, show them kindness. How does the Holy Spirit do it for us? Number one, the Holy Spirit softens your heart. Say to yourself, my heart is soft. I don't have a hard heart. Some people like to say things like, ah, my heart's hard, though. Me, I'm tough, well. No, it's good to be tough with your job. It's got to be solid with life. But when it comes to people, be a little bit soft. Be a little bit soft. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tough with the procedures. Tough with the discipline. But softness directly when it applies to people, as in when I mean people directly, when you know that we will follow the rules, but when it comes to dealing with you directly, I'll be a soft person. Am I communicating here? Yes. It will replace bitterness and pride. You become more sensitive to the pain of other people. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your heart. And guess what? You have to learn how to say these things. One of the ways that I dealt with anger was saying it again to myself. I'm not an angry person. In the name of Jesus, I don't get angry unnecessarily. Sometimes you might have to tell your friends around you to always remind you that you are a kind person. They should tell you that you're a kind person. I hope you're aware. You say yes. Sometimes you're about to ask, but when they say that thing to you, it has a way of boosting you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Words are powerful. The Bible says the right words are forceful. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit teaches you to see people through the eyes of God. Don't see them through your own lens. See them through the eyes of who? God. See them through the eyes of God. Jesus showed us an example. When the woman was caught in adultery, Jesus did not just destroy her. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's kindness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? Yes. The Holy Spirit produces self-control in our speech and action. When you would have said something that is very hurtful, when you would have said something that would destroy a person, but a kind person, you would slow down. Speak softly. Sometimes you might even have said the things you don't want to say, then you later find a way to send message to people or reach out to them to say, oh, I'm really sorry about the way it went. Some people say, me, I can never. I can't go. I know I can never. If I ever go back, no, be me, my mama born. It's not you. You are now a child of God. So the one your mother gave birth to, he has expired. It is the one that Jesus gave birth to that is here now. Glory to God. Finally, today, the Holy Spirit keeps us gentle in times of conflict. And one of the ways he does it is that he teaches us how to keep quiet when you are in a situation where there is conflict and tension. He begins to tell you, keep quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. So you want to point, you want to say it and saying, keep quiet. And that moment you know that the plenty is on your head. Like PG said, just go to the fridge and get cold water. Mommy, sorry, binu ye. Let the binu digest. Sometimes you have to sleep. And I want to beg you, please don't make decisions when you are under pressure, when you are really very angry. Try not to make decisions. I showed you on Sunday the other time when I was teaching that decisions made when people are too angry can be very, very terrible. And the decisions made when people are too happy can also be a problem. Because it's the same kind of excitation. You can make decisions on a hurry because you are too excited. And you can also make decisions that is dangerous and deadly because you are angry. So learn how to, you know, like a thermostat, the Holy Spirit will put you under control. And I pray that the things that we have heard today will work for us. We'll apply it in the name of Jesus. Yes. I really want us to take a few questions. That's why I wrapped up. And I know that if I have to teach patience alone, we will not do both of them. So the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom to get PG to do patience while I do kindness. So we're done. We're done. We're good. So we're going to take questions. If you have questions, you can raise the questions. Yep. No, that's for vision. Another one can go around. Questions. Who has question? Anybody question? This is Christianity, the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody? Okay, someone has a question here. Let me know how many we have so that we can just sum all of them up. But let me see. Raise your hand. The other people, can I see? Okay, so that's one. You're number two, number three, you're number four. And that's all. Good. Okay, there's number five here.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. Good evening, church. So I have two questions in one. And the first is, what do you do when people, especially of the opposite gender, see kindness as an invitation for a relationship? I mean, you're just a kind person, and then they're seeing it as an invitation for a relationship. And secondly, what do you do, or how do you know when to say no to people taking your kindness for granted? Like, you just want to take your time, your resources, your efforts, and they are not returning the same energy.
They are not returning the same energy. Okay, you want to say something? Okay. So, yes, I know for ladies, sometimes a lot of guys mistake the kindness of ladies to mean that they want something. And some ladies have proven to be like that. But one of the things that you do to show that I'm not like that is draw the line. Make it clear that every single thing that I am doing right now does not amount to any of this. It is my nature as a Christian. I do this. So that you don't mistake the fact that I am doing this right now and there's something else that I want from you. That's what I'm... No, you have to say. Boundaries are very important. If you do not draw boundaries, if the lines are blurry, anybody can cross. But if you draw a clear boundary, people will be able to know what it is. So say it. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I was so kind to... I've always been that kind to many of people around my space, ladies and all. That's when we started our ministry. So I knew that being too kind to ladies when we started our ministry can mean a lot of things. So when I see those ones that come too close, I make the line very straight. And I tell them, I say, I know this kind. The way I say it sometimes that, you know, when somebody's this kind, some people think that person wants to marry them. Me. The lady I want to marry is not even anywhere. And in case you are thinking, don't think, oh, because I know they are thinking already. And anybody that is not thinking will say, I'm not thinking. I say, thank God. The one that I think will say, I say, I just felt to say it. Give me food. You cook kula, you bring to my house, I eat. Eh? Ofe insala, I eat. Enitobaje insala, salo. So, that's answered. I believe you understand what I'm saying. Make it clear that this is... Next question, please. There's a second question. Oh, should have stayed with the mic. Eh? She has asked it too. What's the second one? Okay, people take... Oh, that's communication. Say it. Clear communication helps every relationship. If you realize that somebody is taking from you and they're not giving it back, you might need to be able to open up to say that, I just feel like this relationship is one-sided. I'm the one always doing this and this and this. I'm not seeing the energy. Say it. You see, when you know how to draw your lines, people respect you a lot. I tell you, people respect you when they know you know yourself, you know what you want, you know your client. They respect you a lot. So find a very sweet, kind way to say it, politely, that I realize that I give a lot of energy, I do this, I do that. I might be wrong, but that's what I notice. I don't know. I just feel like we need to reciprocate this thing. It has to be a symbiotic relationship and not a parasitic one. I hear what the person has to say. Because some people like it. They want you to cook your indomie, cook your rice, and they don't bring anything. Even sweep the house, they will not sweep. Next person, please. The answer that. Yeah.
Praise God, church.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Being the firstborn daughter, mm-hmm. I have this attitude of doing things on my own.
Yes.
Don't help me.
Yes.
I will not help you.
Yes.
Do your thing, I do my thing.
Yes.
So all through school, 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, I stay in my room. I drop my curtain. You can't know I'm inside. I don't want you to know me. I don't want to know you.
Hallelujah.
So after school, I packed into another place, and the Holy Spirit was telling me that I should always go out and talk to my neighbors. What for? I always think that it's a waste of time. I have things I want to do inside and hall. But as I decide to mix with them, I will now notice that they will start misbehaving. I'll now be like, it's not your fault. It's me that carry myself and come.
Yeah.
There was one day something happened. I left. I went to my room. The Holy Spirit told me, yeah, go back. Go and sit down there. I sat down there. They're like, Kilewashe, can you come? I was not annoyed. I went back again. So I'm not able to manage, like, leaving my comfort zone to mix with people and they're not taking it for granted. How do I manage my...
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You have to start to learn it now because this is what happens in marriage too. If you don't learn it now, it will affect your marriage. Everything God is asking you to do now, you need it in marriage. All the fruit of the Spirit, you need it in marriage. If you don't learn it now, it will affect your marriage. Because in marriage, you tolerate everything.
Yeah.
It's where, yeah. You get. So somebody will enter into your space. Somebody will begin to share your space with your husband. And
yeah.
So you might not like some things. They might be disorganized. You cannot take some things. But
true.
You have to... You have to accept it now. Because if you don't accept, you have issues. So what do you do? You just allow your spirit to work in you. You don't have to say anything. Then remember that when I was teaching, I was mentioning something about you not reacting when you are angry. Just stay calm. You can say a word of prayer. Just stay in that situation. Because if you keep running away, you will keep running. And you will not learn what God wants you to learn. So the earlier you start learning now, learning that foundation now, the better for you. And so the, stay there.
Yeah. And the man is not in your room. He's outside too. So you have to go outside.
Because it's your time. Let them be praying for a prayer partner.
Yes.
And you know they go out.
You know they go out. So. I saw my wife. She said she's been serving. I saw her where she was serving. Yes. I gave her a letter to help me give our guests. And she became my guest. Glory to God. Third person, let's do this fast.
Good evening, Pastor Sir. Good evening, Pastor Regina. So my question is, when you talked about patience, endurance, long-suffering, when you have a sibling a younger sibling and is always stressing you, always frustrating you, even wanting to beat you, is really annoying. Like, how do you enjoy it? And when you try to talk to him, he doesn't listen because he's bigger than me and all. So he's always looking down on me that,
yeah,
what, I'll beat you. So how do you deal with that kind of person? And secondly, if you have a friend that maybe they do something to you, but you're forgiving the person and all, but like it's on repeat, they keep doing it again and again and again. Should I have long suffering for that person, or should I talk to them about it?
Now, for that first one, if you can create some space, because you are also learning and you're growing, you might need the space so that you can build more strength. You know, you did the first time. If I have to continue like this, I will lose. You need space to build more energy in the word, more energy in the prayer, in the place of prayer, and let God train you. But you will still go back again to that test. If not that person, there will be another person. That's why my wife said that you will have to wait. Everybody will wait their own waiting. It's just turn by turn. Do you understand? Then for younger siblings, ladies, please listen to me. If you have younger brothers that are beginning to grow up, don't beat your younger brothers that are 16, 17, 18. They'll slap you one day. Yes, you can't be beating a boy. He's becoming a man.
Talk to him anyhow.
You shouldn't talk to him anyhow, too. You should respect him in the house. Respect him as a man. Now, it doesn't mean that you are respecting him as your older one, but respect his decisions because he will start making decisions. But always learn to give your own bit of the advice. Always make sure that you speak like, see, he does not need exactly another mother. He needs somebody who might look like a mother, but more understanding than mother. Because the mother might not have been that understanding. So the problem with many guys is that men don't want to marry their mother. Because most of the times their mothers mother them. It was too much. Tell you everything, do everything. So they don't want somebody that will be controlling me and telling me, go this, go back down. And many ladies sometimes come in and that's what you want to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? So you must lower on that as the guy begins to grow and know that he's a man. He will make his decisions. Pray for him. Encourage him. Tell him you believe in him. Men thrive with solid word of affirmation. And many of them lack it. And they need to hear it from the people they love. When a man hears things like that from the person that he loves, it changes everything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? And that's why women who understand the power of affirmation, they can trap a man forever. Yes. Like I've been trapped. I'm trapped. So, So you must learn to, yes, you must learn to say those words, encourage him, let him know that you've got to back that. You're just doing this thing because as a sister, you really love him so much and you don't want anything to go wrong. That we are together in this thing. You're my sister. You don't say we will grow together. I'm going to visit your house, I'm going to visit my house. Our children are going to visit their house. So men will behave. Just jokingly. I fought with my elder sisters a lot. It took me time to get to know that. I fought with them a lot. But growing up right now, we talk and it's better. And as people begin to grow up, everybody will realize that we get our space. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yep. So, next person. We have just two more or something. Close.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, brother. Good day, brother. Why are you laughing?
My question is, how can you differentiate your waiting season from your wasting season? Like, how can you differentiate when you have exceeded the time you are expected to wait on God for something and the time you are no longer in the waiting season and you are wasting your time? How can you differentiate?
Yeah, true. Sometimes it can be like that, especially when it's a spiritual thing and you're going through a process. How do I know if it's delay or process? Because sometimes, some people call it process, but it's already delay. Now, when it comes to that kind of spiritual climb, you pray spiritual. When I talk about delay, I talk about warfare prayer. There are times where you pray serious warfare prayer because there are spirits who like to delay things. But you see, when it comes to process, one of the things you've been learning in the place of process is that you will notice that responsibilities will be coming to you. It shows that God is working on you. Things will be coming that will be building you, training you. But when it is delay, you will be sensing in your spirit that this is taking my time and nothing is happening. Nothing is moving in my space. You will know. The emptiness will be there. But in this case of wasting time and waiting time, there cannot be wasting time in the life of a wise believer. Because what should have been wasting would have been used for investing in wisdom, investing in prayer, investing in knowledge. So it's just like saying somebody goes to the gym and you are wasting time. No, if I'm doing something there, I'm not wasting time. So that's why in that waiting period too, make sure that you are waiting and waiting upon the Lord. Waiting and waiting on your career books. Waiting and building capacity for the future. At the end of the day, when Joseph was in prison and everything, he would have thought he was wasting. Well, he wasn't wasting. He was also what? Waiting. And what was he doing? He was practicing his gifts. Anybody you see that needs interpretation will try to interpret their dream. It worked. Then when the big one came, it worked too. So in that season where it looks like you are waiting, keep practicing and building, put the future ahead of you and build capacity. It will not be wasting. It will eventually end up as what? Waiting. And waiting, W-A-I-T, to wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. Second to the last question. No, you didn't raise your hand before, so we'll not take that one. Sorry about that.
My question is, how do you balance being kind with people while also being avoided, being taken advantage of, especially while others misinterpret your kindness as weakness, as being foolish?
Okay. It's similar. It's a little similar to what she just answered. So what I said is that you have to be able to confront people and let them know politely that you know what you're doing. You're not a foolish person. You're doing it because, you know, sometimes I do something for, sometimes I've not had to say it. Sometimes I don't know, this thing I'm doing for this person now, this person will think I'm doing it for myself. But I've not done it for myself. I'm just doing it for the person. Maybe one day I'll have time to let, because sometimes, really, when you become too kind to people, they will think there is something they have done that is giving you more and you are just giving them a little bit. They would not know that because you are just a kind person. So sometimes it's good to say it. That this particular thing I'm doing now, I'm doing it out of, it's not like I have everything in the world. I just have to do it. Maybe laid in my heart because my nature as a Christian and I feel like I am obligated to be kind to people. That's why I'm doing this. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Sometimes when we are giving, I'm not giving somebody necessarily because I have all the world's money. I'm giving because I understand that giving is important for the believer, and I'm doing it because I know God will bless me for doing it, and I don't want the person who needs it to suffer while I am here. Do you get what I'm saying? Not because I have so much, of course, I just have to do this. Are you getting what I'm saying? So say it. Clear communication will help that. The last person is somewhere around.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am. Thank you very much for tonight's teaching. I actually have two questions, and in one of the answers you gave to the brother over there, you partially answered one of my questions.
Okay.
So one of my questions is, In the season of waiting, and the point whereby you are experiencing spiritual restlessness. I remember you taught us once about spiritual restlessness. Yes, you are waiting, and there is this restlessness in you that you are beyond this stage. You need to move. There's a push. You need to break through, but you just have to wait because it seems like the situation is not something you can practically do by yourself, but you know that you just have to push. How can you, let me use the word, balance both waiting and the spiritual restlessness you are feeling in you? You can't just contain it.
You see, sometimes when we're feeling spiritually restless, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. It shows that there is so much inside of you. But the so much inside of you is also dependent on the sovereignty of God and his divine timing. But like I said, don't stop doing what you should be doing when you are in that state where you are restless. For instance, I expect that I am supposed to do something big. I'm bigger than this. I'm supposed to. What am I supposed to do to come into that space? Then I will now use wisdom to structure my space. So I'll use wisdom, A, for this. If it's a training, I'll take the training. If it's this one, I'll do this one. If it's that one, I'll do that one. If I need to put some, if I need to reach out somebody, I'll put all those things in place. The restlessness will not be the type that keeps me just there and not doing anything. Shakaba, shakaba. You can be shakabaing. That is part of the process. Then you apply wisdom. You read books. You ask yourself, this thing that I cannot figure out, now, is there a book about it? You sit down. You read it. Is there somebody? Restlessness cause the door to be open. Because if you are restless within and you are just getting angry, a point will come to turn to frustration. And if you get frustrated and you still cannot do anything, it can end up believing that that is how God designed you to be. That some people have bigger grace to do more than you. It just happened that you are here. It can lead to depression. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So you must understand that, am I doing the right things? Am I keeping tabs? Sometimes you will never feel that you're doing the right thing, depending on your temperament. Sometimes I'm doing the right thing, but I don't feel like I'm not doing enough. My own is I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Some other people, like, they don't feel like they're not doing the right thing. You will need to seek counsel. You need somebody to talk to you. Like, see, we are seeing, you know, sometimes somebody, we are seeing what you're doing. Like, what are you seeing? You're not seeing anything. I'm not doing anything. Because that's my personality. I am very uncomfortable with any face that I am per time. I feel like they are new every morning. So something has to change. Something needs to move. Why is it here? Why is it like that? So, but you are not, check where you have been, where you used to be, and where you are. If it is not the same, you're actually moving. It might not be at the pace you want. That's how life works. You see the people that blew, boom, they've been digging the well. They've been doing it. They've been doing something. Nobody's just blew and coming. No, they've been doing something. Keep doing the right things that you're doing. That restlessness, let it push you to purpose. Let it push you to diligence. Let it push you to hard work. Let it push you to commitment. You will see your spiritual muscles will be so big. By the time you hit that wall one more time, you just realize that it is not that one that you hit it before they gave up. You are hitting something and the rock is about to break. Then you got tired. Then stop. I want to beg this generation, be very resilient. And if you are here tonight and you have been a very religious person, all this fruit of the Spirit I'm teaching, you feel like, I know all these things, I do them, but you are not born again. There's a difference. Religiosity does not amount to salvation. That you are religious doesn't mean that you are saved. Salvation means that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior and you are submitting to Him. You are willing to follow Him. If you are here, can you quietly raise your hand? I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ tonight. Can you just raise your hand quietly and say it after me? If you are online, indicate with an emoji. Just use your favorite emoji and just indicate there. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I am sorry for the mistakes that I have made and the kind of life that I have lived. Have mercy on me. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. And I declare from today, I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. Are you blessed today?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.com. ptccenter.org. God bless you.